Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 12 of Bare Belief. Hello, Jessica.
Hello, Gabriel.
How's it going?
Yeah, I'm going good.
Good. Glad to hear it. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're surrounded by technology.
Really?
Yes, we are.
We are recording a podcast.
We are recording a podcast. And we're actually, it's pretty amazing when you think about it. Like, we're going to be able to produce a pretty decent quality edit once we're done. Like, obviously we do the recording at home, then there's a whole process of editing, adjusting the sound quality, chopping it up. All of that is being done with this laptop and a couple of mics that I bought at Best Buy. And this whole setup is pretty simple, and it's all because of technology. But there is an intersection between technology and spirituality. And I think in a way we're kind of embodying that. Like, here we are talking to people we don't even know for the most part on this thing called the internet, about spiritual practices, religion, what have you. There are some things we can think about when it comes to spirituality and technology. I think technology definitely has an impact, and it has for thousands of years. Because when you think about it, originally, religion was a word of mouth thing. It was people would gather and do
practice.
It was an oral tradition. It was an in-person tradition. Today, more and more, there's less and less of that. Like, it's still oral to a certain degree, but it's definitely, you don't even have to be in the same, like, you barely need to be on the planet now to participate. Like, we have astronauts.
You could be in the heavens talking about religion.
No, but you could be, you could be on a space station. There's literally humans on space stations with access to internet. We had some astronauts orbiting the moon not that long ago, just recently. So things have definitely changed. And a lot of it started with the Gutenberg press. That was what was considered by many the democratization of the Bible. And I think that's where, especially for Christians, it became a point where religion was a little bit more brought down to the masses, in the sense that it used to be preached at. It was not a lot less in control of the people, of the worshipers, and more in control of the
leadership.
And now what we're seeing now with the internet is that that's even happening at a faster pace. Podcasts, YouTube videos, TikToks, whatever. People can really embrace those platforms and kind of twist the religion or make their own in a certain way. And I think that's probably has an impact on religions with like a capital R, like what we see or what you see probably in church or in your community as a whole. So how do you think technology is affecting religion today?
So I think it really had an impact during COVID and the pandemic, because all of a sudden we couldn't be in those central places where many, I'll say within our own diocese, didn't have some sort of outside platform. They all adapted to either get on Zoom or Facebook Live or these types of things. It was interesting when I was organizing services for that. Many times I had to kind of record the music on my own because it didn't have a version that I would like. Or
you mean you had to record the version on your own?
Well, so there'd be a hymn.
Oh, okay.
Right, that I'd want to put in the service.
Okay.
Because the way Zoom works, you can't really play it live and sing it back because of the echoing and the delay, it's called, I think. So you'd have to sort of put it on your PowerPoint and sort of play it, and then people would be in silent and you're going on. And you'd get like these real, I like organ music, but it was either really poorly recorded or it was like this like old school, like, oh, just cheesy version or whatever. So you know what? I would just get out the cords. They were all available online, which is another way, it's been religious or spiritual resources.
You would play the music?
Yeah.
You can play?
I can play the guitar, yes.
Seriously? How do I not know this?
Oh, I'm an onion.
Good grief.
Yeah. So I would sort of record
you
something.
You can play the guitar?
I can play the guitar.
Wow. So I am shocked. I don't know this. Okay.
Right. So again, and then technology gave me the availability to actually record, you know, and then sort of have mm-hmm. a centralized place and whatnot. So now, so the funny thing was, over the pandemic, I didn't love the pandemic, but I loved that time because the rules were all out the window, right? So we had to start being creative. We had to start working together. Like, all those barriers that we had either constructed ourselves or we thought were there.
Community. So technology was freeing in a certain way.
In some ways, yeah. It allowed us to continue to do those things that we did, right? Many people got together in their own Zoom groups and did game nights or whatnot. Like, my whole ministry, like Phoenix Community Projects, the newest form of it, was an online ministry because we were doing community lunches online. We did trivia nights online. We had kids clubs online, right? So it was a response to that because we'd been doing it in person for so many years. And then when restriction measures were released, we were like, okay, how do we kind of do both? How do we, you know, we figured out, and we just sort of, because we're small, decided let's just do in person and build capacity. And then we can start branching out through technology. So I think there are great perks. I think it has enabled us to share multicultural resources, diverse resources, to include other groups, like the LGBTQ2+ group. There's many, many things that maybe we wouldn't have seen in the traditional print, because it's sort of given a safe place for marginal groups to kind of put it out there. And if you want it, great. And if you search for it with sort of the right search words or whatnot. And in the end, we sort of ended up being a resource for that because people knew we were exploring like Indigenous spirituality for Pride Month. We would do, you know, so many topics around queer spirituality and some of the imagery and theology and explore that. So I think it can be very liberating, but at the same time, I think it can be very dangerous.
Well, that's kind of what I was wondering. Like, I think it's good that things are adapted, but wouldn't you lose something in that format? Like, because I feel like a lot of the spirituality, part of it comes from that sense of community. And I mean, I work completely remotely, and I'd be lying if I said that there wasn't an interpersonal aspect of it that is a bit lost when you have, it's too technology focused.
Yeah, now is the biggest like criticism when we started meeting back in person is that people are like, no, I miss this proximity. But what I do mean sort of about dangerous is to like what extent. You know, I'm not saying that there should be one source that is the authority. I think God tells everybody different messages and may put messages for people that help push the boundaries and to expand sort of religious notions. But I think it can be used for propaganda as well and to hurt.
So 100%
people. And like, okay. So my biggest pet peeve this Lent, and you know what? And the worst is I don't want to say it because I know people are going to go research, go check it out, and I don't want to send traffic there, but I will. So I think it was called like the Lent app. It was Mark Wahlberg, his brother.
God, this guy is so insufferable.
And Preacher Mike, right? So they were using, is it good or is it bad? You know, they're trying to get people connected spiritually to provide a resource spiritually. And like they're using their celebrity to do that. But to like what end? And I was like, wait a minute. You know, here I am working my little booty off, just trying to make things accessible to people, to break down barriers, to break down stereotypes, to, you know, rebuild capacity so people can feel safe. And then, because it's, you know, Marky Mark and his Funky Bunch, you know, saying, hey, come and
Marky
check
Mark,
out this.
Marky Mark and the Spirit Bunch.
Whatever you want to call them. Like, oh, okay, so because Marky Mark is doing it, I'm going to go check that one out. So I get a little frustrated in that, you know.
Of course.
So, and I'm not saying it's not a good resource, but, and And unfortunately, maybe I need to do more research on it. But that's where sort of my feathers get raised, or, you know, whatever it's called. And I don't want to do anything. But I think there are celebrities that are working towards providing elements and using technology to do that. And I will say there's Rainn Wilson. And I can't remember his character, but he was an actor on The Office. And he has this awesome spiritual resource called Soul Boom. And it's really going through interfaith, dialogue on spiritual practice and different ideas and aspects of religion. And just, again, doing similarly to us, just creating a forum or a space and where people can safely explore that. And I think it's just the way they're doing it, right?
I think you're hitting the nail on the head. It's like, so Marky Mark, I mean, he's been in the public for decades at this point. And if you've known him for as long as we've known him, it's hard to forget that he had a hate crime conviction as a teenager, that he's said all kinds of gross and despicable things over the years. And I kind of feel like now he's using his faith in a very performative, very like kind of, it feels disingenuous to me, you know, and it's not like he did one bad thing. Like, he had a whole entire like decades of just being a despicable human, in my opinion. And now all of a sudden you turn around and you're using Jesus and Christianity as this like shield towards all that. And I think that the reason why that app thing is so discomforting for you, at least it would be for me, is that it feels like he's blending the religion with his brand. Like it becomes
love and not like holding it up for itself, right? Like it
exactly.
There's that selfish intention with it. Like it's kind of tainted, you know?
And that's why, like, for me, and he's not the only one, there's quite a few people who are guilty of this. Especially now on the internet, like we see it on YouTube, you see it on podcasts, you see it everywhere, where people are blending their faith into these projects in a way that feels to me like it's to benefit their image or to benefit the brand. And it's not about the spirituality. It's not about the actual belief. It's like there's something coming out of it. And I think that app is the problem.
It feels that way. Right. And there's so many resources, like Northumberland Community, which is I can't remember where it is. Sorry. It's late, guys. So, but there's that one. There's Taizé. There's so many of these types of online resources where you can go for a daily meditation, a daily reflection, prayer support, whatnot. And it's different. It's not the traditional sort of ideas that you think that the church is doing. And it just feels safer. The other danger that I'm seeing and feeling is the use of AI and things like ChatGPT. And because we don't have a relationship with spiritual leaders or whatnot, we're going to these AI sources and putting in all our crises of faith or all our questions and all this stuff. So we're getting these generated answers. And hey, don't get me wrong, I've used it too, just to get sermon starters or something, just to seek my creativity.
It can be a good tool. Like, we're not going to hide it. Like, I use ChatGPT for a lot of tasks related to the podcast, just because it helps with research, it helps with script writing, it helps with narratives helps with the editing. Like, we're a two people operation here. Like,
takes a load of that off,
and we have no budget. So
no, but at the same time, where I get scared is when people are using it for serious counseling.
Oh, it's very dangerous.
Right?
Yeah.
And
people have committed suicide because of ChatGPT.
Right? And so that's where I get really like, well, hold on. You know, or what if ChatGPT puts something out there based on your previous searches that have, you know, you've found some other misleading information or some sort of propaganda or just sort of hate speech or whatever. And like you get all this stuff when you're searching, right? And especially like YouTube, you just put those things in and you get the spectrum.
But the thing is, you don't even get the spectrum, because that's the problem. These search engines, they're not straight searches anymore. They're algorithm based. Mm-hmm. They know what your biases are. They want to keep you on the platform as long as possible. And they have gotten good at getting to know you. Today, I mean, I showed you. I asked ChatGPT, tell me everything you know about me. And it is remarkable. And you saw, you read the text. It knew who I was. It's kind of scary. So if they can do that, I mean, this is where I feel like it's scary to me, because I know now that we're being served these search results that are catered and tailored to a certain dopamine fix. Mm-hmm. And I think if people are turning towards a Google or ChatGPT or Gemini or even worse, Grok, to answer this spiritual stuff, they're going to be served in the same way that if a human were to answer these questions, because I don't trust the system to be generated.
No, because we're actually listening, and and we're internalizing, and you feel, right? Like I am empathic. Like I feel what you're trying to communicate to me. So I just did a funeral this last week. 6 months ago, the family's sort of patriarch, the father, had passed away, and 6 months later now is the mother. So with the father's funeral, they just, did the funeral. It was kind of, they put something together. But they had commented themselves, like, well, it felt rushed. It didn't feel like together. It was just sort of all over the place. And, it was what it was, but it just didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. So then this is where I was approached and said, hey, can you put something together? Like, we're not super religious, but we want something. And I'm like, yeah, that's called ritual.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where spiritual communities still offer this, because, we may not go to church, but there's something familiar in a tradition.
Yeah.
In the routine of that gives us comfort in these moments, and it's all those sacraments. The baptism is about bringing that community and sharing this moment
It's the presentation
of
a new life. It's the beginning. We have all kinds of ceremonies like that all over the world in all kinds of religions.
In different ways.
It's interesting that humans have the same ceremonies or a flavor of each ceremony, no matter what culture you're in, no matter what religion you believe in. Like these ceremonies that keep popping up,
right?
Yeah, and are big ones,
Yeah,
births, marriages, deaths. Even could be divorces, could be passing of seasons, could be
finding vocation.
Finding vocation, exactly. Right. And they exist in all of these things. I think ChatGPT can't give us that, but it can kind of shift the celebration of it. And it's one of the things that I'm noticing that scares me. Like I'll give you an example. Like there's a thing that was circulating, and it still circulates sometimes. It'll go viral every once in a while. The thing with the litter boxes. Have you heard of this? The litter boxes in schools.
No.
This is okay. So this if you haven't heard of this, it's buckle up, because this
like I've heard, like a friend of mine in her child's school, there was a child that was identifying as a cat, and they had to provide this litter box.
So
is this what you're going on about?
And you know what? That never happened. I can tell you right now that never happened.
Oh.
Because that story I have heard from multiple parents in multiple schools. And it's a story that has gone all over North America, and it's propagated by evangelicals who have put these stories out on their websites as fact, and it doesn't happen. And it gets shared on Facebook, and then it becomes this urban legend.
Yeah.
And I heard this through, I'm not going to say who, but it's a thing that got communicated to me through someone else from an ex-teacher, a retired teacher that taught me. So I was shocked to find, and they were saying how in this particular, they named the school and the place and said they were putting kitty litter boxes in the school. And I was like, well, 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 I'm going to do some fact checking because I know people who work in this school.
Yeah.
So I'm going to call. So I ended up calling people that I know personally who work in this school. And I said, is this true? And she said, and that person told me, if I get asked about those litter boxes one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. So this is a thing that's happening. And I think this is where, like, and this is an example, but this happens on so many topics where I think people use technology to push narratives that fit their agenda and make it viral in a way that is so preposterous that, like, when you hear it at the surface, like, it's a crazy story.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really crazy story. But there's nobody has ever put a litter box in a school. It's just never happened. Show me proof of this happening.
No.
I saw on a video on YouTube, it was at a school board somewhere in the south of the US, mm-hmm. and it's the same thing. Someone showed up at the school board meeting, all up in arms because they heard that they were putting litter boxes in the schools. And the school administrators, the district administrators or whatever they were called, they were just put their hands in their heads and they were so exasperated because they're like tired of debunking this thing.
Yeah.
And it's coming from evangelicals in the south of the US.
Right. And so there's another movement, and I believe it's called like biblical patriarchy or Christian patriarchy. And like I was kind of warned by colleagues, like, because I have a 15-year-old child who's on the internet and it's on the TikTok. This is my senior influence. You know, the TikToks and the Facebook.
I've heard right? the TikToks and the Facebooks
and the Instagrams, you know. But it's all this imagery of like what the role of men and women within Christianity, right? And it's getting it back.
That trad wife stuff.
Yeah, the stepford wife kind of roles and whatnot. So they're like, be very careful in what,
it's a huge problem.
Bridget's watching.
It's a huge problem.
Because again, impressionable age. Oh, if we've talked about this when we're younger, and like, oh, if this is what I'm supposed to be in this kind of role. So I think that's where. I mean, like, where do you go to? You know, I can't say, well, that's not like. I mean, there are certain resources or sources that you can be like, yeah, careful of that one.
You have to educate and hope that you're doing a good job making a human who's able to reason a little bit and think on their own and not let themselves be influenced by this garbage.
But
there's so much garbage out there.
Come to me as like, well, I was watching this online show or whatever, and but they said this, and so does that mean like I'm sinning all the time?
Oh,
and
my
this
God.
And I'm like, whoa. What?
But that's my whole point. There is so much, like, if you go on YouTube and you look at you Google or you search on YouTube for spirituality podcasts, Christianity. Once you go down that rabbit hole and you start listening to some of the things, like, this is what's scary to me. And in a way, we're kind of hypocrites because we're kind of like that ourselves. Like, we're two dim bulbs with a podcast who decided that we had something to say. But anybody can do that. And I think some people, their messaging is so negative and it's so like, I mean, we don't really have an agenda. Like, I'm not trying to convince anybody of like that I think is better than what you think or what anybody else thinks. So we're not trying to convert people to anything.
No,
that's not
but our
point
agenda
yet.
Item is explore.
We
want to
questioning, explore. Keep questioning.
And,
exactly.
And like pushback, challenge.
But I feel that there's so many out there who do have an agenda where it's like they want to create more trad wives. They want to perpetuate that misogyny. They want to
encourage, but the word perpetuate their own spiritual leadership.
Yes, exactly.
Right? And sort of that cult's capacity, you know? But no, I think, you know, if something, again, I forget what we called it, but that checker, right? That little in your stomach where you're like, I'm like, I just don't know what that's about. Or
I think
really?
The kids call it cringe.
Yeah, exactly. There. Oh my Lord. We're there. But no, I think it's great. When something makes you feel cringe or just uncomfortable, that's your instinct going, wait, hold on. You know, it doesn't mean it's not true, but let's keep asking questions.
I think for me, the barometer is when you get into areas that are judgy or that you're kind of demeaning entire groups of people. Like I feel like right now, like trans people are a big target.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to pretend I understand what it's like to be trans and what that reality is, but I'm not egotistical enough to think that I know better than the people who are actually living it. Right. So I won't speak to it. I won't speak against it. I'll support them. But then there's all of this other side, and it is coming from the religious right a lot. They seem to have this obsession with trans people right now, as if we didn't have a bajillion other problems that were more pressing. And that's where I find the internet technology can really amplify that message in a way that like we've never really seen.
Well, it's all that trolling, right?
Oh,
and then, oh, hey, I'm part of a community because, oh, there's all these people that think and feel
honestly, that's the thing about trolling that really surprises me. Like, I mean, I pretty much live online. Like, I'm a technology guy. Like, I was on the internet like before people even knew what it was. My first internet chat would have been like in the early 90s. And when I mean early 90s, I'm talking like 1990, 1991. My friend Toby and I used to sneak into the university labs. We would hack into the university network because security back then was not what it is today. It was really easy. And we would spend like hours on the internet. These two little like teenage pimply nosed kids like hacking the university computers. I live online is basically the point I'm trying to make. What baffles me is when you go on TikTok is a lot like this. Reddit is crazy, and on Facebook, where you go into these areas of the internet that are frequented by what I would describe as religious extremists who claim to be saved or speaking, you know, as God-fearing Christians, and you look at the comments that they write, and they cannot be described, in my opinion, by any other way as like either trolling, disrespectful, mean-spirited, or just downright evil. And so I wonder, like, do these people think they're getting a free pass? Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand how you can, as a Christian, go on something like this and treat humans in such a despicable way and still think that you're going to get to the pearly gates and knock on, or do ding dong, and then St. Peter's going to open and go, oh my God, you know what? It doesn't matter all the shit you did on Facebook and how you made all these thousands of people feel like crap decades.
But that's
Come on in.
Like, that's going through that whole old school missionary colonial approach, right? Like, it's you got to do this. I'm saving the world. Like, it's this advocacy of like, oh, all this, you know, self-righteousness, right? Righteousness, I think we've talked about this, isn't simply morality. If you translate it, it's about social justice. And that's what Jesus actually was advocating for, right? Like, taking all these systems, tearing them down, and being about interpersonal relationship and building each other up, right? Like, equitable uses of resources, right? Like, not having the 1%. You know, you see people not eating, not having a house, not being able to like provide for their family. And that's not because they're not working or all these stereotypes of being lazy or whatnot. You know, people just fall on hard times, you know, and outside of social provisions, like, how do we support one another? You know, that was Christ's message, not, I like to call it the end game.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, and it's all about John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, for all that truly believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. So and so this is where I think technology is so dangerous. And I don't think
100%
authorities or those who've been... Listen, I'm not a doctor. I know first aid, but I'm not going to do surgery.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
You know, so I think there's those who have training, who have study, who have that expertise. But at the same time, there's a responsibility with those in leadership position to humble themselves and say, you know what? Let's look at that together, because I have no idea of the answer of that. So churches, when they finally got sort of recognition, like by political entities, right? So when the kings and the emperors and whatnot sort of became Christian, it legitimized Christianity, right? Because Jesus' time, they were persecuted and you'd be killed. It was a whole underground kind of society.
There was a few hundred years where, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And then you had the Crusades. So we're going
to then it went completely bonkers.
Right? So the church was really responsible for those social constructs, right? So what's right, what's wrong? Again, this dichotomy of good and evil, right? The sin, the not sin, to then have your reward at the end. So is now technology the one that has been given the responsibility for social construct?
Well, then it's interesting, because then what would it mean for us to be human? Or like what would be what's left for the church then? If we're leaving all this to technology, like then what's the point, right? Right. So I think the answer is we cannot. We have to take control. I really feel like we're kind of turning into zombies a little bit when it comes to technology. I was walking downtown this weekend, and I was walking, so I was paying attention to what was happening. Like when I walk, I look around. Like I feel like that's like a normal human being thing to do. But I was shocked at remarking how many people are out walking around downtown. They're walking and they have their face in their phone. Mm-hmm. We have gotten to the point, and there is kind of a generational thing here. I think it's not everybody. I think you can see an age line where this is happening more. And I find it scary. I think something needs to give. I don't think, and I mean, you could say, you know, old man yells at clouds or whatever, but like, I think this is bad. Like, I just don't understand like how we can keep getting absorbed into this, like we're being literally turned into these technological zombies. Mm. And it's really scary, because we cannot, if you're walking and you've got your face in your phone, like we're working on technology right now where we're going to start implanting things in our brains. It's happening. Their tests are being done now by a company called Neuralink, which of course is run by Dr. Evil, what's his name? Elon Musk. That's another one of his endeavors, where they are testing right now. There are people out there with links in their brains connected to computers that are literally interpreting thoughts. This is happening today.
So we're creating our own matrix.
We're doing something. What the end result is, you can't predict. They're using this right now as, so the hook, the sale is that they're using this to help people who are paraplegic. So the example that there's an interesting video on YouTube where they have this guy hooked up who has, is it MS, and who's lost the ability to speak. And now he has this implant in his brain. And now through this implant can think thoughts, and they get translated into a voice on his computer that is his voice that was recorded before he lost his voice. So he's literally speaking through his brain through an implant. Like, this is today. This is not science fiction. This is this is where we're going. I mean, this technology just keeps moving forward. And I think if you link all those things together, if you link the trolls on Facebook, the weirdos on Reddit, the people who are completely engulfed in their cell phones, that they can't even walk from the subway station to their job without having their phone 2 inches from their noses, the trolling, and then you fix that with like neural links coming in. Like, I think it's scary. I think it's really scary. I think if we've managed to have cults brainwash people into certain ways, I think we need to be very, very careful with the intersection of technology and religion, because we're entering territory that we might not be able to control. Mm-hmm. And that's what scares me with that intersection today.
No, I totally agree. And then again, who's responsible for all that technology? Right,
it's not
just because the guy who created does he have like the elite or the girl, or
it's the elite, right? We don't have any control over it, and the elite is controlling the government, and we're just going to be the drones at the end of it. we're going to have to live with the consequences.
And the other, when you were talking about that, I was sort of getting like the VR stuff, the virtual reality stuff, like how people just escape even further into that and have like total imaginary relationships.
Yeah. And that technology is not even good yet. Like it's pretty crappy technology. It is getting better, but we're not even near what it's going to be in the next 5 to 10 years. There is right now in the pipeline, there are all kinds of augmented reality and virtual reality things being developed. Apple is about to announce that there's speculation that in the next couple of years they're going to have augmented glasses coming out, kind of like the new Facebook Meta glasses. Like, we are at the cusp of a big technological shift. In my opinion, the first symptom is AI. What's happening now with AI is kind of bonkers. Once AI merges with some of these technologies, we're going to have a massive shift in how we experience, the human experience is going to change. We're seeing it already. It's happening right before us. And I'm really concerned that nobody seems to talk about this. And I don't know, like, is that something that is discussed in the spiritual world? Like, is that even on the radar in like your...
I don't think so. Right? I think of our churches are so grieving not having the people and the fear of closure that we're not thinking about how all this is affecting us.
Maybe that's your saving grace. Like, maybe that could be... Like, I feel like religions, they shift in time, they change, they reflect what humans are going through. And I think something needs to counterbalance that technology. And like, and to me, the natural one is spirituality and religion.
Right.
So that should be the counterbalance.
For sure. But then here's the churches and these places of like, we kind of burnt our bridge, right? So how do we get that sort of rebranding, for lack of a better word, that, hey, this is a safe place. Come and check this out.
I mean, Madonna reinvents herself every 5 years. I can't see why you can't do it every
two. We can't seem to get out of our own way.
You can't even do it every couple centuries.
So then, yeah. I mean, it just, and then it begs to sort of wonder, is AI really artificial?
Oh, God.
But that's a whole other cup of tea.
Well, it is artificial. It has to be because it's made by us, right? But then, like...
But where does that, like, we see all these sci-fi movies about it,
but then there's an argument to be made about, like, what is creation? Like, where does that come from? Like, if we create a being with AI, like, does that be...
Then are we then God in that reality?
And then there's, I mean, you can go deep in the philosophy around this. Like, it's like the whole idea behind the Matrix and behind, like, you know, are we all living in a simulation? And that's an interesting point because there are physicists and philosophers. People who think that this is a simulation, and they have proofs or theories that we are living in a simulation. But in theory, if our AI gets good enough and advanced enough, we could create a simulation that would exist within itself and would be thinking and sentient and have feelings. And does that entity now exists, and does that entity have a soul? Does it, like, it, these questions get very, very complex.
Well, and we're seeing some of that. Like, I don't know if it was just AI generated or not, but you've seen sort of these reports of these robots just getting done with sort of created for a repetitive task, and then just being like, meh, I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do this anymore.
I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, so like, so it just, it begs to differ, you know, when does a robot become real?
Or when does it get a soul?
Or when does it get a
soul? And then it has that whole question of, like, what is a soul? Where does it come from?
And then we can question ourselves, like, if we are just going through the motions of a robot, are we actually utilizing our souls?
But, I mean, you could make an argument that we're just, like, meatbag robots.
You know? Right. So that's what I'm saying. So is nurturing that spiritual soul, that essence, right? Like, I feel we all have our own essence. And that, you know what, there is no other Gabe on this world. You might have a doppelganger out there, you know, but you have been brought to this world for your lessons, your gifts, your talents, right? And
I thought it was because my dad was horny.
Oh my God. But maybe that's sort of this drone mentality. Yeah. If I'm not engaged, if I'm not aware, if I'm not connecting personally, then maybe I am just a flesh bag robot going through the motions of life.
Flesh bag robot. I like it.
So if you are crazy enough to want to support this, we would like to say thank you so much. We appreciate you guys being there every couple of weeks when we publish our little podcast. And if you want to support us, you can leave a comment, you can like, and you can subscribe on a number of places. YouTube.com, you just go looking for Bear Belief, you will find us. We also put all of our stuff on Spotify and Apple. Just type Bear Belief and you will find us there. We have a website, bearbelief.ca, and you can write us at bearbeliefpodcast@gmail.com. So that's another one wrapped up. Thank you so much, Jessica. It's always a pleasure.
Gabriel. I enjoyed this one.
This was fun. And we'll see you all in a couple of weeks.